Good afternoon and welcome to the show. This is Marie McGahey, and this is What Does God Have to Say About That? And we're going to be talking about Easter, or what we call Resurrection Sunday. And if you would like to join me on the air, just call in at 646-652-2794. And our chat line is also open, so you can join me there as well. So we're going to talk about tomorrow, which is Easter. And let me first say, the show is brought to you today by Dancing with Bear Publishing at www.dancingwithbearpublishing.com and www.dwbchildrensline.com. We have books for on the children's page for kids that can't read yet, picture books clear up to the teens, and we have adventure books, and everything is clean with morals and a point. It's not just for entertainment. It also teaches something important that children need to learn. And our adult books at www.dancingwithbearpublishing.com. We have Bible studies, Christian living, Christian fiction, Christian nonfiction. So we do have something for everyone. So give me a call today at 646-652-2794 and join the show live. We are going to start today's show by talking about Easter and the different things that people are going to be doing tomorrow, and why do we do the things that we do on Easter, and what does Easter mean to you? I go to an apostolic church, which is Pentecostal. And our beliefs are Easter is the most important part of the Christian religion or the Christian experience, because that is what defines our belief that Jesus, although he was born of a virgin birth, which in itself is important in his life, which teaches us many lessons, but the most important part of his life is his death on the cross, which he took his sins, our sins, upon him so that he could be the last and only sacrifice that can actually save the world. And by his blood at Calvary, we are saved. And all we have to do is ask for forgiveness of sins and accept Jesus as our Savior and then walk in the ways of the Lord. And when we die, we will too be resurrected into a new life in heaven with the Lord, and we will also be in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, and we will rule and reign here on earth with Jesus. And so let's go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to start at Matthew 27 and verse 57, and this is the burial of Jesus. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that the deceiver said," speaking of Jesus, "after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Then we go over into Matthew 28 in the first verse. This is Jesus is risen here. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, which was a Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" And then we go down to verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" So if we go back into Matthew 27, where the angel rolled away the stone and both Marys could see that Jesus was not inside, Jesus had already risen. Rolling the stone away was not so that Jesus could come out of the tomb. He had already left the tomb. Rolling the stone away was proof that Jesus had risen and that he was no longer in the tomb. And this was very disconcerting to the guards and to the Pharisees, and they would not have believed otherwise had they not seen the stone rolled away and Jesus was not in the tomb, that it was vacant. And had that stone not been rolled away, there would never have been belief that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. And then he went on, and even though he was not in the tomb, and both Marys saw that, and then they went, and they actually saw Jesus, and then went on to tell his disciples where he was going to meet them. And that was an important part of the resurrection as well for his disciples. And even they said there was some that doubted, and as we know, that's the doubting Thomas, who had to actually touch Jesus' hands where the holes were and to see his side where he had been pierced with the sword. And that was what confirmed their belief that Jesus had risen from the dead. And the reason that it is so important, that even though Jesus' birth and life was so very important to us, that his death and his resurrection is what gives us salvation. And without Jesus dying on the cross, without the blood shed at Calvary, we would not be able to be saved. We would not have salvation so easily at our fingertips, where all we have to do is ask Jesus to forgive our sins, and he does, and ask him to live in our hearts through his Holy Spirit and to guide and direct our paths. That would not have happened without his death. And without his resurrection, we would not have the assurance that when we die, we will also be resurrected into a celestial body and go to heaven and remain forever with Jesus in heaven. And that is the importance of Easter, and that is the importance of Christ, the crucifixion and the resurrection. And if you've ever been to Eureka Springs, they have a play there, the Passion Play, where you can go and you sit up in the arena and look down on the players. And it's a very wonderful play, and I just love it. But when you're watching Jesus being beaten and whipped and ridiculed and dragged through the streets and taken up to Golgotha and hung on the cross. It's just heart-wrenching, and you really just want to shout at them and tell them, stop it, you know, leave him alone. And I, you know, and I always think of Simon Peter, who, while in the garden, you know, when they came to arrest Jesus, and he was, you know, had a quick temper, and he took the sword and sliced off the guard's ear, one of the guard's ears, and trying to stop them from taking Jesus. And I often think that, you know, I don't know that I would have been any different than that. You know, I may have lopped off a head instead of an ear, but, you know, we couldn't stop Jesus from doing what he had to do, because that was why he came to earth. That's why he lived, was so that he could be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Because prior to that, according to Jewish religion, that to atone for sins, the people had to go to the priest and offer up animals of various kinds for various sins. And even though they did that, God could see that that was not the answer to mankind's fallen nature. The only answer to mankind's fallen nature was a pure, unblemished sacrifice that would be one sacrifice that would cover all people for all time. And some people have that really difficult time in believing that one person's death can cover the sins of people who he didn't even know, and people who came thousands of years later after his death. But that's the miracle of the crucifixion, is Jesus's death was the ultimate sacrifice for all people, for all time, and for all of us who had not even been born yet, and who had not even been thought of yet, who were born thousands of years later. But we do have that miracle of Jesus' crucifixion, that we can say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Let one drop of your precious blood fall on me and cleanse me white as snow. And it does. And I pray that every day. I pray that because I do have a quick temper, and I do often say things that are hurtful, and I often do. You know, the Bible tells us that our tongue is like a two-edged sword. Our tongue is like fire, and our tongue is wicked. And we do often speak before we think, and we often say things that can hurt people's feelings, and we often let our tempers get the best of us. So that is something that I have to work on a daily basis, is keeping my tongue in check. But when it does get away from me, I know that I can go to my Heavenly Father and ask forgiveness immediately. And I am forgiven of that. And that's because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And then we have his death, where he was buried in the tomb, and then his resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus is what gives us the blessed assurance of our resurrection from death. Once we die on this earth and we shed this body, our spirit will ascend into heaven with Jesus. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations that at some point the dead in Christ will rise first, that the graves will open up and the bodies will come up out of the graves. And those who have been cremated or have died in other circumstances, like Pastor said last week, that even somebody who was chomped up by a shark and their body was never found, God has the ability of raising that person back into the whole body the way that it was here on earth. And then somehow that body becomes a celestial body and is reunited with our spirit. And we, because we are body, soul, body, mind, spirit, body, heart, spirit, whatever you want to call it, we are those three things, and they are reunited together in heaven. And we have a celestial body, and we have an everlasting spirit, and that spirit will go either to heaven or to hell. And we have that choice to make, and Jesus is the reason that we can make the choice to go to heaven. and that we don't have to pay for our sins, and that we don't have to, even though we so truly are deserving of hell, there is not one of us who deserves heaven. The wonderful thing is that because Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, we have that blessed assurance that when we die in Christ, we will also be resurrected and that we will go to heaven. And that is what the celebration of Easter is all about. And that's what we will be doing tomorrow, going to church. And I hope you're not what my pastor in California used to call the C&E folks. Those are the ones who only show up in church on Christmas and Easter. And I always thought, if you're only going to go Christmas and Easter, what is the point? Maybe your kid is going to be in the Christmas play or the Easter pageant, and you want to watch them. But really, other than that, what is church doing for you if you're just showing up at Christmas and Easter? But it really doesn't matter if you show up every Sunday. If you are not following the ways of the Lord and serving the Lord according to the Bible, then, you know, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. You actually have to put forth effort, and you have to participate, and you have to become, and you have to grow in the word of the Lord, and you have to grow in Jesus. And that is the purpose of becoming a Christian and accepting Jesus as your Savior. So, we have Easter, and what we are celebrating on that day is the blessed assurance of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, but also our resurrection from the dead once we have lived however long we have on this earth, and then we die a natural death, but we have a very supernatural resurrection because of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage anyone who has not accepted Jesus to do so right now. It's never too late. And the Bible tells us that the book of Revelations and that the end times, and none of that is going to occur until the last Gentile accepts Christ. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the last one that Jesus has called. And I am just very thankful that the last one didn't occur back in 1950 or 19 whatever before I had the chance to accept Christ as my Savior. And I don't want anyone to go through this life that has not accepted Christ as their Savior. And it's very easy to do just with a meaningful heart. Say, Lord, I know that you came to this earth and was born of a virgin and lived your life for me. I know that you died on the cross. I know that you rose again, and that because of that, your shed blood covers my sins. Live in my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. Thank you, Jesus. That's all there is to it. You don't have to say it exactly that way. You can say it in your own words. Just say it and mean it. And that's what Jesus wants from you. And he knows. He knows exactly where your heart is, and even if you don't say the words exactly right, he understands that, and you're still saved. You don't have to say it perfectly. There's no perfect prayer of salvation as long as you say it and as long as you accept the Lord as your Savior, and that's what the important part is accepting Jesus and knowing that because of his life, because of his death, that you will also have everlasting life. And I praise God for that. And then I just praise God that we have that awesome opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive us, and that we know that Jesus does. Now I want to go to the book of Luke in chapter 24. And this has got a little more information on this. And we start on Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Praise God, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen, appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.' When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Verse 46. Continuing verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in Jesus' name to all nations. And that has continued since that time to this time. And we continue to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, and ask that all people just soften their heart and take one second, that's all it takes for that little faith the size of a mustard seed to grow and to blossom, and to give you the choice, the chance to have that redemption and the forgiveness of your sins. And then we go on and we have baptism in water. And what we do is we go down into the water, representing going down and into the grave. And then we come up out of the water, and that is our representation of Jesus rising from the tomb, rising from the dead. And we rise up out of the water, a brand new being. It's an outward expression before everyone to show our inward transformation from sin to righteousness. And although we continue to live in this world, we are not of this world. We are of the heavenly world. But while we're in this world, we do still continue to sin, and it's a process, and we are not perfect, even though we strive to get there. But every day we can ask for any sins that we may have committed, especially with our mouths, and have said things that are hurtful to others, or you know, whatever, the tongue is, you know, fire. It's an evil little thing. And, you know, sometimes if we don't literally bite down on it, things come out of it that we don't intend until it's too late. But it doesn't mean that we lose our salvation. We just ask God to forgive that, and we go on and we move forward and we move upward. And that is why we have Resurrection Sunday, and that's why we remember it every year. And we celebrate it so that we don't forget why we celebrate it. We don't forget why Jesus came. We don't forget why Jesus stayed. We don't forget why Jesus preached the words that he preached about heaven and about God and the Holy Spirit, and why he chose to go ahead and die on the cross and be crucified. Because without that sacrifice that he made, without that one last pure sacrifice, we would not have the chance at salvation that we had. And Jesus had a choice. He could have called a legion of angels to rescue him from that cross. He didn't have to stay there. But because of his great love for us, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his crucifixion on the cross. And that is why we celebrate Easter every year, why we remember the crucifixion, why we remember the resurrection, and how important it is to us, and how important it is to everyone, even those who don't know it yet. And I have had a life that has been rough. Some of it out of my control. Some of it of my own doing. But whatever the case of it that it was, I was headed straight to hell. And praise God, I had a praying grandmother. And even though she passed away before she got to see my salvation, God did not forget her prayers. He did not forget the prayers for her sons or her daughter-in-laws or her grandchildren. And I have slowly seen over the years, I have seen more and more of my cousins coming to the Lord. And I know that's because of Grandma's prayers. And I pray that for my children and my daughter and sons-in-laws, for my grandchildren. I pray it for my cousins, my aunts, my uncles on both sides of the families, for my friends, the people that I know, for everyone that I can think of to pray for. I pray for them. And I pray for people that I have forgotten about. But Jesus knows everyone that I am praying for. And I know that even if I pass away without seeing my children and grandchildren saved, I know that God will not forget my prayers, because he did not forget his son. And because his son came just for the purpose of salvation. That's why Jesus came to earth. That's why he was born into a fleshly body. That's why he gave up heaven and came down to earth, from heaven to earth, to show the way. That's the song, how it goes. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, to pay our debts, to pay our sins. From the earth to the grave, my debts to pay. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. And that's what Easter is all about. It's not about the bunny. It's not about the Easter egg hunts. Well, that's fun, and I don't think there's a single thing wrong with kids getting to go out and hunt Easter eggs. That's a lot of fun for them. But they need to know why we have Easter. It's like Christmas. Nothing wrong with sitting in Santa's lap. Nothing wrong with getting Christmas presents or decorating a tree, as long as you know why you're doing it. As long as the understanding is there that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Christ and Easter is the celebration of the death of Christ and the resurrection and everlasting life. That is why we celebrate, and that is what I hope that people will know. And even if you're one of those CNE people who only show up at Christmas and Easter, I am praying right now, Lord God, for each and every one of those who show up tomorrow at churches everywhere across the nation for Easter celebration, that the Holy Spirit will move upon their hearts, Lord, and move them to want to know more about you and to accept you as their Savior and to live for you the days of their lives, so that when they leave this earth, they too will be resurrected from the dead, and that they will live forever after in heaven with you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that for every single person who hears my voice, and for those who don't hear my voice, I pray it for all of you, because the idea that someone would not accept Jesus and would rather go to hell than accept Christ as their Savior and go to heaven, it boggles my mind, and it makes no sense to me. But I bless each and every one of you, and I pray for each and every one of you, and I hope that tomorrow, as you wake up in the morning, that you will thank God for the day and thank God that we're able to go to church tomorrow, and that we can go and that we can worship God in a free country. Because there is a lot of Christians across the world who aren't going to be able to do that tomorrow, that they are going to have to worship in their home secretly because of the areas where they live, that if it was known that they were worshiping Jesus Christ, they would be beheaded, arrested, imprisoned. That is against the law to be a Christian. And that's something that boggles my mind as well. I can't imagine that. But I pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in foreign countries, who are not able to go to church freely the way that we can. And that's a freedom that we cannot afford to take lightly, and we have to continue to pray that those freedoms are never, ever imposed upon, and that those freedoms are never trampled upon, that our right to freedom of religion and our right to freedom of worship and expression and is one of those things that is guaranteed us by the Constitution of the United States, and it's why the pilgrims first came to this country, was to escape the king and the rule of the Church of England, and they came here to have their own way of expressing worship and praise to God. And that's what this country was founded on, belief in God, belief in the Bible, belief in that they were Christians, and they believed in what the Bible said, and that is what this country was founded on. In God we trust. That's where the Constitution came from, and it's being tried. There are certain factions trying to trample upon it, and we need to remember in prayer to continue to pray for our freedoms so that they are not lost, so that we will be able to continue to worship and to go to church every Sunday and to celebrate Jesus every Sunday and not just in our homes silently to ourselves, because it's against the law to have a church. And remember our brothers and sisters in other countries who cannot go to church tomorrow, and remember them and continue to pray for them and continue to pray for our missionaries who go to war-torn countries, who go to dangerous areas of different countries to bring the word of God to those who have never heard it. And keep all of those people in prayer. There are a lot of people who sacrifice everything that they have so that they can bring the word of God to those who are lost and have never heard it. And for those of us right here in America to pray and continue to pray for the needy, for the homeless, for the poor, for the children, for those in foster care, and for children in homes of drug addicts, and for those who are in prisons. And we have such a great need right here in America. And that need can be met through faith in Jesus Christ, that if we would all bow before the Lord today, accept Jesus as our Savior, and pray one for the other, there would be no more poverty, no more sickness, there would be no more war, there would be none of the drug addiction, alcoholism, people in prison. That would all just disappear if everyone lived their life according to the way of the Lord. And it sounds like a very simplistic attitude, but it's true. Prayer covers everything. There is nothing going on in your life, with your family, in your marriage, in your job, with your friends, with your anyone, that cannot be corrected through prayer, through faith in Jesus. So I'm about out of time here. I want to thank you all for listening. And if you didn't catch the show live, thank you for listening to the recorded version. And if you would have any questions, I'm going to invite my pastor, Jerry Vickers, one Saturday when he has the time. We're going to have an Ask the Pastor Day. Any questions that you have about the Bible, Christianity, you can send them to marieontheradio@gmail.com. That's MARIEONTH. Radio, marieontheradio@gmail.com. Send your questions and anything else that you would like to talk about, or if you have any topics for the future that you would like the show to be about, drop me a line, let me know. I love hearing from you, and I thank you for taking the time out to listen, and I will see you next week. And God loves you. So do I. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.